We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
Concerns about swine flu has some churches taking extra precautions. This Catholic church just outside of Washington, D.C., has taken the traditional sign of peace handshake out of services, at least for the next few weeks. Another noticeable change, no communion wine. The wine is typically given to several people from a common cup. Parishioners were still given wafers, but those who administered communion were required to use hand sanitizer first. The priest also reminded churchgoers to wash their hands before and after Mass. Mike Crossia, The Associated Press.
Well, that's what one Washington area Roman Catholic church did in the face of the scare over the swine flu here in the United States. What about your church? Was anything different? Did the pastor say anything about, well, shaking hands or embracing the sign of the peace, or how communion was going to be distributed or received? Or maybe if nothing was said, did you think about it? The flu scare, you don't know how bad it's going to be. You don't know where it is. You don't know if it's here or there. And so you go to take communion. If you ordinarily take the common cup, drink from the chalice at communion, did you avoid doing this, or did you think about avoiding it? I want to hear from you. It's Audio Open Lines, Issues, Etc. My question for you has to do with the flu scare and how it affected what happened yesterday for you in church, either how you thought about it or what you did in terms of practice. 1-877-623-6943. Open Lines, Issues, Etc. This Monday afternoon, the 4th of May. 1-877-623-6943, or talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Now, if you were down in Mexico last week, you probably would not have gone to church at all because the government was telling people down there, avoid enclosed spaces with large groups of people. That kind of, by definition, is what happens most Sunday mornings in church. Of course, you can always open the windows, then it's not as enclosed as it is. But then again, that's something different that you would do, isn't it? In the face of a flu epidemic and how it affects your church practice. I want to hear from you. And don't be ashamed. I mean, this is the kind of thing where I'm simply asking you, did it occur to you? I'll tell you right now, it occurred to me. I presided at the Lord's Supper yesterday, and it occurred to me. My congregation offers both the chalice and individual cups. Now, I didn't notice a big difference of people taking one or the other. Of course, I wasn't really paying that close attention, but I did think about it. At least for a moment there at the altar, I thought, flu. What about you? Did you notice fewer people taking the common cup, or yourself? Did you say, okay, better safe than sorry? Better safe than sorry. I think I'll just stick to the individual cup or refuse the cup altogether. In the Roman church, that's what they're doing. They're just saving people the trouble and saying, we won't be distributing the cup at all during communion. 1-877-623-6943. Were you hesitant to shake hands yesterday? A lot of people shake hands going in or coming out of church or during the service at the sharing of the peace. What about that? 1-877-623-6943. Or talk back at issuesetc.org. And you know, if it didn't occur to you at all, you didn't think about it at all, and you didn't even concern yourself with it, I want to hear from you too. 1-877-623-6943. Or talk back at issuesetc.org. Do you think it's a sign of weak faith to drink from an individual cup when it's flu season, be it this flu season or the ordinary flu season? 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. I say that we read a lot of people's blogs. I noticed this was a subject this weekend with some of the blogs that I read, largely Lutheran bloggers out there, either raising the question about the swine flu and how we practice communion or what we do in church, or trying to answer the question. Some of them saying it shouldn't make any difference whatsoever. It really shouldn't even occur to you to change your practice or how you receive the Lord's Supper or how you greet one another in church. A few saying, you know, these concerns, while they may not be entirely warranted and while there may be no theological reason for them, they are understandable. So where do you fall on that? 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. It's Monday afternoon, the 4th of May. A little open lines here in the first hour of the program. Jim in Evansville, Indiana says, business as usual. Individual cups, common cups, greeters shaking hands, sharing the peace, etc. No change in the practice at church. Thank you very much, Jim, and thanks for listening in Indiana. What about the rest of you? Did you notice any changes in church? Did anyone mention anything? Was there a notice in the bulletin? Or is there during regular flu season a notice in the bulletin about how people practice what? What would you call it? Liturgical hygiene during the course of a flu outbreak? 1-877-623-6943. And by the way, I know you have an opinion on this. I know that you have some opinion on this. Should the practice change? Maybe your congregation is one of those congregations that only receives communion with the chalice. Now, we heard in the AP story that the Roman Church is perfectly capable and comfortable with withholding the chalice altogether. It was actually the practice of that church for at least several hundred years, if not the better part of a millennia. But what if you're a church that normally everyone does receive the cup all the time? What if your pastor said, you know, the flu's getting bad, we're worried about this. If you don't want to take the cup, you don't have to take the cup. Don't worry about it. How would you react? 1-877-623-6943. Do you think that churches should change their practices during times like this, especially if the flu outbreak were to worsen or come to your hometown? Talkback@issuesetc.org or 1-877-623-6943. Jeff, were there any differences at St. Paul in Hamel that you could detect?
Well, I didn't keep a tally. I'm singing fairly loudly, my family will tell you, the hymns during distribution hymns. So I didn't really keep a tally. I didn't change my thoughts one way or the other.
Did you think about it?
No, I didn't think about it, actually. I actually didn't think about it.
Okay. I actually did think about it. But then again, I was presiding and I was thinking, I didn't think much about it. I thought about it right there as I began to unveil the elements, and you're sitting there thinking about the cup. Where's the cup? And where's the bread? And you're trying to make sure everything's in order. And I thought, fleeting thought for a moment, you know, this swine flu thing probably has some people scared. And I thought about, I'll be honest, I thought about it again one more time during the distribution of the Lord's Supper when I think someone refused the cup, or I couldn't tell whether they refused it or not. And I thought to myself, is this a swine flu or a flu concern on the part of this person? And then I gave it no more thought, to tell you the truth. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. But should churches, to be prudent, change their practices or at least permit for a change of practice in communion or in handshaking or greeting during a flu scare? 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org.
I did, on the way out, I mentioned this to you, Jack was like helping Pastor Whedon greet people on the way out yesterday, shaking hands. And it didn't hit me at the time, but then I think later that day, I was like, oh my goodness, because, you know, was I being a bad father by letting him do that? And I thought, the bubonic plague came along, I mean, would I be a bad father if I told my children to not drink out of the common cup if something like that came along?
That's a good question.
And I wonder, though, if Lutherans, Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox Christians view this differently because they actually do believe it's the body and blood of Christ compared to other Christians.
Well, no, I mean, if you were to walk into a Baptist church during a flu outbreak and they were having the Lord's Supper, I imagine, no disrespect to our Baptist brothers and sisters, but I imagine that that in a Baptist church where they deny the real presence of Christ and where they believe this is merely a memorial meal and kind of an ordinance that you keep, they would have far fewer compunctions about changing the practice or about curtailing the practice of the Lord's Supper altogether, because it's kind of an optional thing and it's not that big of a deal. We could remember Jesus without it, can't we? Whereas churches that affirm the presence of Christ, the presence of Christ's body and blood in the sacrament, according to Christ's institution, are going to have more compunction about it, aren't they? I mean, they are going to say, this isn't just something we do to casually remember Jesus or a special thing we do to remember Jesus. This is actually his body and blood. I mean, it kind of raises that question. Can there be harm in receiving this during a flu season? Scott is calling from Oakwood, Illinois. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Pastor. I happen to go to a congregation where about 10% of our average attendance on Sunday consists of medical professionals in nursing and related fields. Our current pastor is actually a hospital chaplain as well. And this past Sunday, we celebrated communion as per normal. I even saw saw a nurse at the end of the communion line I happened to be in taking the common cup, and I thought to myself, if they're not concerned, why should I be?
Were you concerned at all, Scott?
Not really. In fact, I hadn't even thought about it until it was brought up in today's program.
Okay, I wonder, what if you'd seen the nurse do something different? Would you have been concerned?
I might have thought it a little strange because she usually takes the common cup, and so do I. But it probably would have dawned on me later, knowing me.
All right, Scott, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Oakwood. What about the rest of you? I want to hear from you after the break on this issue. We've got a flu outbreak. It may be big. It may be small. It may turn into nothing. It may turn into something big. Should the churches celebrating the Lord's Supper be concerned about how they practice the Lord's Supper or greet one another during a flu outbreak? 1-877-623-6943. We'll be right back.
We at NewReformationPress.com are committed to providing a hand-picked selection of books and teaching materials that educate, inform, and entertain while relentlessly focusing on the gospel. Discover our growing library of resources by Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn radio program, including his powerful address, The Gospel for Those Broken by the Church, or Bible in an Hour by Pastor Wade Butler. And be sure not to miss our selection of t-shirts, gifts, and artwork. NewReformationPress.com. Finally, Reformation theology made accessible.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. John Carter, Linda Brune, Byron and Donna Zelk, Hillary Bowden, Emily Klackalock, April Burnside, Susan Fink, Dennis Botzik, Allison Egger, and Joyce Bauman. Thanks for your support.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Donna Asher, Carol Abbott, Mark McCrory, Pastor Adrian Piazza, Pastor Justin Panzer, Caleb Egger, Arlene Skaggs, Mark Eckert, Paul Martens, and David Goebel. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Open Lines. We're talking about swine flu and the common cup. Two things you wouldn't normally associate, but if you're in church on Sunday and you see that common cup coming down the rail toward you and you're a little concerned about the flu, or maybe you're a lot concerned about the flu for you and your family, does it occur to you, maybe I'm going to let the common cup pass me by, or I'm going to opt for that individual cup that they have following closely on its heels? Were you one of those people? 1-877-623-6943, or weren't you? I want to hear from both of you. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talk about confined spaces. LPR Studios is a very confined space. Okay, so the other day, who was the guy who got this one kicked off? It must have been Jeff, who came in with his swine flu, or the Schwarz flu.
I've been accused of bringing swine flu into this office by Craig. First of all, I think I work with two germaphobes. I don't know about Todd, but Craig's a germaphobe. There's no doubt about it. And he's accused me of bringing swine flu into the LPR studios. And I've had this cold for like 3 weeks now. I did, in respect to Craig, I finally called my physician today.
So the picture is emerging of Jeff already. See, we learned on Friday that he doesn't care how long he leaves the pizza out. And so it's unconcerned with any kind of bacterial infection he might get from that. And now we learn that he's unconcerned about even something as common as the cold. So Jeff started it, and then it passed to Craig because they work very closely together. I stay in my office. And I didn't get it largely because I stay in my office and I wash my hands assiduously. I am concerned about those kind of things. I'm a hand washer. I mean, I'm one of those kind of guys. While I'm not particularly worried about getting sick, it doesn't worry me. I like keeping my hands clean. And I'm wondering, after church, were you thinking, golly, I wonder if any of those characters I shook hands with might have had the flu? That'd be a real easy way to pass it along. You know, they say the Centers for Disease Control says 3 feet. 3 feet is the range for communication of the swine flu. So you don't even have to shake hands. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. All right, I'll let Craig defend himself.
The history of the LPR strain of the swine flu, it kind of happened like this. Jeff, you know, I believe he told me a week or so before I got sick that his whole family had been sick and he was the last one to get it. So I get sick from Jeff, and then Jeff says to me, he says, well, no, it's just a sinus infection. And, you know, I stew on it a couple of days, and then I'm like, didn't you tell me your whole family was sick? He says, yeah, you caught me. So not only did I get sick, I took it home.
Ma
got sick, and Frank is now just getting over it. And they all did want me to pass their appreciation along to Jeff for bringing it into LPR.
Well,
so,
I'm telling
thanks,
you,
Jeff.
So what happens here is it starts with the youngest of the Schwarz children, little Jack, who's at the door shaking hands with Pastor Whedon, shaking every parishioner's hand, picking up every germ he can. He passes it to, what's the next one in line? Katie, and then it goes to Emily, and then it goes to Justin, and then it goes to Mom. And then last and least, by the time the virus has reached full potential, basically mutated through the Schwarz family into some sort of super virus, Jeff gets it, brings it in here, and delivers it to Craig. And that's how it works.
You know, I think one of the blessings of having a large family is you become immune to, like, the germophobia. I mean, it's true. Germs are all over
the place. I remember
when
the kids were young and used to get sick to their stomach, I would be like, oh, no, now I'm going to get it. Now it doesn't even faze me. I mean, my kids can be – I mean, it can be – I don't want to get graphic here, but it can be a mess. And while I find it somewhat inconvenient, I feel terrible for my children when they're sick. I don't sit there stewing and worrying about whether or not I'm going to get it. I just forge ahead. Nick in Lebanon, Missouri says, I didn't think about it at all until this show's airing. But yesterday, everything was absolutely normal, sharing the peace, common cup, individual cup, etc. I and my family are common cuppers, and I've never even thought about it. I wouldn't look down on someone who did change their mode of communion partaking. Thank you very much, Nick. Thanks for listening in Lebanon. Tom in San Angelo, Texas emails us. He says, as each service began yesterday, I mentioned that if anyone was concerned about the swine flu scare, we would be happy to allow that person to have an individual glass rather than the use of the common cup. And if anyone would prefer, he could take the wafer instead of having me give it to him. So there were no takers on any of our four congregations that I serve. Interesting. Interesting. No takers on the precautions. One of the congregations at our monthly supper, following the service, one individual noted that if we all got the swine flu, then we could go to the hospital together and spend more time with each other than we normally do. This congregation is one which is close to Mexico, by the way, about 80 miles north of the border. That is awfully close to swine flu central. Most of the people seemed more or less unconcerned and saw swine flu as no more a threat than the normal flu, which comes around every year. Tom, thanks for listening in San Angelo. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943. Anything change in church, or did you entertain any concerns during communion or shaking hands in church yesterday because of the swine flu? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org.
I wonder what kind of image you think it would, or message it would send to the world, to the unbelieving world, if Christians, like, we don't care. We don't care. What if we get sick? We die.
We die. What's the big deal?
You know, would they look in admiration? Would they look in, these people are crazy, like the Scientologists that we just talked about? I don't know. Just thinking off the top of my head.
You know, we're given to believe from the annals of church history that in times of worse sickness and disease, I'm thinking here about black plague, bubonic plague, various other forms of pestilence that have been visited on, in particular, Western Europe, the Christians were the last to leave when everyone evacuated, if they left at all. And many of them, having evacuated, returned to the plague-ravaged cities and towns to care and tend for the sick, some, many, even to their own detriment, leading to their own death. And it was a witness to the unbelieving world to see that Christians, it's not that they didn't love life, but they loved their neighbor more than life itself and were willing to do this. Of course, today, it's more likely that the big box churches will be handing out face masks and latex gloves for everyone to use if things got really bad. Because, you know, if your church is all about the individual and about your own personal self-improvement, then your health comes first, doesn't it? A far cry from the church of ages past that did not concern itself with sickness or even death if the neighbor was in need. There are places in this world where you can go and receive the Lord's Supper on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis where a person three rows back from you has the AIDS virus. Where not just one person in your congregation, but perhaps dozens in your congregation have the AIDS virus. And they still commune together. It's remarkable. I understand someone's concern. I completely understand the concern. And I understand the crisis that's created there at the communion rail when you think, I'm coming here for the forgiveness of sins and for life and salvation, but am I going to get something I didn't count on? Am I going to get something here in this cup that's going to harm me physically? I am not of the opinion, because I don't think Scripture gives us any clear word on this one, I'm not of the opinion that someone cannot be harmed by partaking in the Lord's Supper by some virus or bacteria or the kind of disease agent. I'm not of that opinion, because God's Word doesn't say. Popular Christian piety may say, but God's Word doesn't say for sure that we cannot be harmed by this, by some sort of sickness. But does it make a difference? Does it make a difference? I think about those Christians communing three rows forward of someone who has the AIDS virus, and they may think about it, but they still commune. And it's out of love for the neighbor, and it's out of trust in Christ's promise. And they may be thinking to themselves, like those Christians who rush back into the towns ravaged by a plague, is this going to kill me? Am I going to catch this thing too? Maybe I will. But what is there to gain as opposed to lose? I could lose my life, but what is my life? My life's bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. I could get sick, but what is my health? I receive the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation in this cup. Is there something else in the cup I need to worry about? Maybe. But that doesn't necessarily mean you need to worry about it. But if you do worry, and this is, I think, as we need to say this as strongly as everything I've just said. If you do or your neighbor does worry, then we bear with one another in those kind of worries and concerns. And we practice patience and careful teaching, and always together, those who are concerned and those who are unconcerned, returning to the promises of Christ about the Lord's Supper. When we come back from this break, we've got hour two of Issues Etc. straight ahead. During hour two, we're going to spend the entire hour with none other than Oz Guinness. He's written dozens of books. His latest, The Case for Civility and Why Our Future Depends on It. He'll join us live from Washington, D.C. We'll be talking about pursuing civility in a post-Christian culture. Oz Guinness will be our guest on the second hour of Issues Etc. today. Congregations band together for all sorts of purposes to do together what they cannot accomplish singly. Our Issues Etc. 300 is that kind of group of congregations. Congregations who have decided in their generosity and their gratitude toward God to support Issues Etc. to the tune of $1,000 or more in their mission or advertising budget. Your congregation can join the Issues Etc. 300. Find out how by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click the promote page. You'll find a flyer there you can print off and give to your pastor and your congregation. Ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two is next. We'll talk about civility with Oz Guinness.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.